This is the Making Stitches podcast. This week we hear from Phil Saul from The Twisted Yarn, who not only creates elaborate and beautiful stranded knitting motifs, but can walk and knit at the same time.
I only knit simple things when I'm walking, but I just thought, well, why not use the time? And as long as you're knitting something simple that you don't need to look at, it's okay to walk along to doing that. I'm sure everyone in my village thinks I'm completely crazy, but never mind, I can live with that.
One of the delightful things I've discovered since doing this podcast is that I've now got a legitimate excuse to reach out to people who I've followed from afar for years. One of those people is Phil from the blog The Twisted Yarn. Phil creates the most amazing knitted motifs using stranded knitting. The results are stunning and mind-blowingly intricate for a basic knitter like myself. I got the chance to have a chat with Phil a couple of weeks ago during a rather loud thunderstorm which went on for hours. So if you hear rumbles in the background of the recording, that'll be the thunder, or possibly my children running up and down in the hallway. Phil began by explaining that she really got bitten by the knitting bug later in life after learning the basics early on.
I did learn as a child, my mum taught me, but I wasn't properly bitten by the bug then. And I went on to do other kinds of creative things. And it was only a few years ago, really, that I came back to knitting and became completely obsessed by it.
What was the catalyst for getting you going again then?
It was something sad, actually, because one of my sons had a serious head injury, and it was while he was recovering, I needed something to distract me that wasn't too demanding, and I just fell back into knitting, and it really, really helped get through that time. And my son's fine now, but the knitting addiction's still there.
Yeah, there's something about that kind of repetitive craft of knitting and crochet that really helps soothe the mind at difficult times, doesn't it?
Definitely, yes, definitely. And there's an increasing body of evidence, research evidence, that it is helpful in all sorts of ways, cognitively and emotionally.
Of course, you come from a medical background in a professional sense, so you would understand that, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a psychologist in my day job, so yes, I'm kind of aware of those sort of things.
What about other crafts? Do you dabble in anything else apart from knitting?
I do crochet, but that probably is second to knitting. There are lots of other crafts I'd like to do, but obviously only so many hours in the day, and I'd rather do a smaller number of things well than try and do everything. I've done a bit of spinning and I'd love to do more, but it's just the time, isn't it? I'm sure everybody feels like this.
Yeah, there are never enough hours in the day when you have crafts that you want to do.
No. No, you need to clone yourself.
Now, in your blog, The Twisted Yarn, you share some absolutely beautiful designs that you've come up with, very intricate, multicoloured knitted designs, which absolutely blow my mind. I wouldn't know where to start. It would send me running for the hills. But you make it look so easy and so beautiful. What kind of set you off on that route?
I just like quite complicated designs and motifs anyway. I'm just drawn to that kind of thing. I'm not really into plain things or stripes. You know, I like complicated motifs inspired by nature, the natural world in particular. So it's probably inevitable that I got into trying to create those sort of designs in my knitting. And stranded knitting, which is what I do, is the best way, I think, of bringing those designs in. And it's not really as complicated as it looks, because you're only ever working with two colours at once.
You do talk it up as if it's quite straightforward, but it still blows my mind. You mentioned that you take inspiration from nature, and something that sticks in my mind from a year or so ago was when you created an amazing knitted picture depicting freshwater life. That was absolutely stunning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and we fairly recently built a pond in the garden, and freshwater life is something I'd been interested in from childhood, and also geology as well. So I did this picture, and it's sort of a cross section through, I think it's moving water actually, a river, and with a cross section through the ground underneath as well. So I did the strata of the rock, and also between the two, there's a layer of sediment with some old artifacts in, because it just encompassed all the things that fascinate me, and all the things that are below the surface, because I think that's that can be so interesting, even if something looks fairly plain, like the surface of a river or the ground or a riverbed. You never know what complex things are going on underneath, and that's what I was exploring in this picture, and it was quite a lot of fun to do.
It was amazing, and to see it growing, you know, through Instagram and through your blog. And then, of course, you knitted these on circular needles and then took a pair of scissors to it, which completely... I felt scared on your behalf.
Oh, thank you. So, yes, I cut a steek, so because it's a lot easier to knit on circular needles rather than having to do stranded work with purling. You know, you can do that, but it's just too hard. So it's much easier to knit it in the round with some reinforced stitches down the back that you then cut, and that's your steek. And I've done, the first time you do it, it is terrifying. You imagine your entire piece of knitting that you've worked on is just going to unravel before your eyes, but of course it doesn't, particularly if you're using the right kind of yarn. And it does get easier, and now I can do it sober without a gin beforehand to boost my confidence. And it's okay, and it really is the best way of doing that kind of work.
That's absolutely mesmerising. Something else that really grabbed my attention was the fact that you seem to be able to knit whilst moving. And there's been pictures of you walking to the school with the knitting needles going as well. That's an amazing talent.
I only knit simple things when I'm walking, but I just thought, well, why not use the time? And as long as you're knitting something simple that you don't need to look at, it's okay to walk along to doing that. I'm sure everyone in my village thinks I'm completely crazy, but never mind, I can live with that.
Well, you're not the only one. I think anybody who does al fresco crafts probably imagines that everybody thinks the same thing about them. I've been guilty of it myself, a football touchline crochet, and I've had a few strange looks.
But perfect. I mean, that's the absolute perfect time to do it. Your hands aren't doing anything, so why not crochet?
Exactly. Especially if it's a boring match.
I can't think of anything better to do at the time, and you can still watch the match and make something beautiful. Why not?
Indeed. It's called multitasking, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good thing.
Now, something that really captured the imagination a few years ago was the fact that you reupholstered a chair you had in your house with the most amazing yarny creation of a country cottage and a garden. Can you tell me a bit about that and how it all came about?
Yeah, I mean, it's an old one of those IKEA chairs, that Poang chairs that lots of us have got somewhere in our house. And the cover was very plain and it was looking rather shabby. So I decided to knit or crochet something to recover it, but I hadn't really decided what. And then a few years ago, I found a book in a secondhand bookshop from the 1980s by a woman called Jan Messant. And it's called Have You Any Wool? And she makes the most incredible things, houses and people, mostly knitting. I think she does a bit of crochet, but it's mostly knitting. And in that book, there was a fairly simple garden that she'd knitted with rows of different vegetables and flowers. And that just set off a spark. I started thinking, what could I do that was along those lines, but more? And the idea gradually evolved, looking at this chair and thinking the seat could become a garden and the back of the chair could be a cottage. And there's a flap that hangs down on these chairs, the headrest. And I thought that could be the roof. And the idea gradually evolved, and it started fairly simple and I thought I'd do it quite quickly. But of course, it got more and more complicated as I thought, oh, I could add this in and it needs a pond and maybe a few more vegetables there and flowers. And it became this incredibly complicated, mad thing that took well over a year to finish. But yeah, it came out okay.
It came out
more than
okay.
I wouldn't be making another one, though, I can tell you that.
Well, it got quite a lot of fame. It even made it onto television, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, I went on a program, a BBC program called Make, and was asked to show and talk a little bit about it. So that was quite fun.
Yes, and
it's been in a few magazines around the world. Yeah, an Australian magazine asked to feature it. So yeah,
that's incredible. So it's reached beyond these shores then.
Yes, it has. It's getting a little bit shabby these days because the children play on it quite a lot. I often find little diggers in the garden section or cars on the garden path. So they've had some fun with it, but it does need sprucing up.
Well, I can imagine they wouldn't be able to leave it alone. It looked quite magical. And of course, people can make bags. I saw you had a pattern on your Ravelry page for a cottage bag that was very similar to the back of the chair.
Yes, I made that, I think, before I did the chair, and it was almost a kind of prototype to, working out what sort of stitches could look like bricks and so on. So, yeah, that was the dry run.
That's superb. Now, I believe you have got a book coming out in the not-too-distant future.
Yes. Yes, assuming the current crazy situation with the virus doesn't put everything back indefinitely, my book's due to come out next year. It's all about stranded knitting, not so much traditional Fair Isle work, although there is a bit of that in there, more just modern takes on stranded knitting. And it's all about trying to teach people to have the confidence in doing it themselves and design their own motifs, because I'm quite evangelical about that sort of thing.
Definitely. Well, you can certainly spread the word by putting it into a book. I understand that you can't say much about what's going to be in it, but sure. How did it feel when you were contacted by the publishers and asked to put a book together?
Pretty exciting. Yeah, because I think that's the culmination of what I've been doing. You know, I love writing about knitting. That is actually really important, as well as the knitting itself. I love designing. So to have all those come together was perfect. And originally they approached me to do a book about a different area of knitting that I have no particular expertise in. And I had to say, thank you very much, but I wouldn't be able to do this justice. But fortunately, they said, we like your work. Is there anything you would like to write for us? And that was it. They couldn't shut me up, basically, because, I can go on and on about stranded knitting.
Well, it's clearly your passion.
Yes, very much so.
And so what does the future hold for yourself, your knitting and the twisted yarn?
I think more of the same, really. Assuming this book gets off the ground okay, I'd be open to doing more, because I just like to spread the word about stranded knitting. And also, I've been writing a book that hasn't yet got a publisher. We haven't approached anybody, with a friend who's Selma from the blog Eclectic Home Life. And we're writing a book about seasonal knitting and crochet, projects that have got a clear association with particular events in the calendar. And so once I finish the stranded knitting book, we'll go back to doing that. But yes, I think more of the same, and I'll probably publish more designs via my blog and just keep writing. If I can keep chatting with people and making people laugh, then that's okay.
Well, you certainly do that. Your writing style, you're just so funny, some of the observations you make. And it's a real treat to see what's going on in your garden. You've got your amazing pond in your garden and then Robin the Robin.
Yes. Oh, she's even got my husband doing her begging now. He came in just before you and I spoke this morning. He came in and said, the robin's pestering me for food. He was just trying to sit out there quietly. So even he has to feed the robin now before he's allowed to sit in his own garden quietly.
She clearly rules the place then.
She does. She's only about 3 inches tall, but she's the boss of all of us.
Oh, how amazing. Well, if anybody who's listening hasn't seen Robin, you've got some beautiful pictures of her on your blog and also on Instagram. Caught midair, kind of swooping in to get mealworms out of your hand. It's amazing. It's like it's Countryfile, really.
She's great. And the sparrows are starting. She's obviously put the word out because the sparrows are starting to get wise to this as well now. So just can't go in our garden without being pestered by small creatures. And then, which is great. I'm not complaining.
No, indeed. Indeed. Well, it was quite funny. One of your posts I was reading yesterday was about the fact that, you know, you're having to provide snacks for your children during lockdown and then go into the garden and you're having to provide snacks for your, for the wildlife as well. Yeah. I feel your pain on the snack front.
Yes,
it's
I'm
a constant
sure.
thing at the minute.
Yes, I'm sure you know the feeling, and I'm sure lots of parents around the world know the feeling right now.
My thanks to Phil for taking the time to speak to me on that thundery afternoon. I really enjoyed our chat. If you'd like to see some of Phil's work, you can find her at The Twisted Yarn. I'll put a link to her website in the show notes for this episode. And thank you to you too for listening. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Making Stitches, please do share it with your friends. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, please consider subscribing to Making Stitches on your favourite podcast app. It costs nothing to subscribe, it's simply a matter of clicking, and the next episode will appear when it goes online. My name's Lindsay, and this podcast was edited and recorded by me. You can also find me on my blog, Postcard from Gibraltar. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep safe and enjoy your crafting.